We're talking about being set free, to break free from the things that would keep us down. And today we're talking about addictions. And when you think of the word addictions, your mind goes where my mind goes, to drugs and to alcohol, and rightly so. Because those things are so devastating in people's lives. They ruin their lives. They destroy families. They kill. And the wake of all of that is devastating. So we're going to talk about what it means to break free from those kind of addictions today. Because the reality is, in a group this size, there's people struggling here, right here, with those things. Or you know plenty of people that are. So we got to talk about it, guys. And we started this series last week, and what we said was simply this: we're all a slave to something. Because really, an addiction is anything that you can't say no to. And whatever that thing is, it keeps you in bondage. It keeps you enslaved. It keeps you from freedom to make the right choices, the God-honoring choices, the healthy choices in your life. And if we're all a slave to something, then we've got to talk about it. This many people in our community struggling with addiction, we can't not talk about it. The perception is that church is the place you can't talk about those things. If the church lady was here, she'd say, "Well, that sounds like Satan. Isn't that special?" Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But it's wrecking so many lives, we can't not talk about it. It's the thing that's jacking up so many people's lives. And the church, I mean, hear me loud and clear, the church ought to be the safest place in the world to deal with this issue. This ought to be the safest place to admit to a problem, to come for help, to talk, be real about these kind of things. And when we talk about addictions, I want to just open it up beyond just drugs and alcohol, because an addiction can take a lot of different forms. It can take the form of food. It can take the form of money. It can take the form of pornography. It can take the form of control or power pleasing people for approval. And the church has got to talk about these things. You're going to hear for the next month us talking about small groups, because we just believe, as good as it is to be in rows here, it's even better to get in circles with each other. And we're going to be asking you and challenging you to find a small group. But I heard somebody say recently, they said, "Look, every small group ought to be like an addiction recovery group." And I said, "What do you mean?" And they said, "You should be able to walk in and say something like this: Hi, I'm Rod. And I'm a recovering addict to myself. And let me just tell you how that jacked up my week this week." I mean, every single one of us have those kind of issues. But when it comes to church and your church world and your church friends, we like to hide those issues. We want to hide them. And you're thinking, "I don't want those people to know. Other people might know, but I don't want those people to know I have a problem." Can I tell you something very clear? We know. We know. And here's how we know. We didn't go through your trash. We haven't been stalking you or checking you out from a distance. We know, because we are. And we know we all are. That these cuffs go on every single one of us. And there's things that hold us in bondage and slavery if we're not careful. And if that brokenness gets out of control, it becomes an addiction, doesn't it? Brokenness let to itself brings about addiction. We might be addicted to something to medicate our past hurts or to escape today's problems. But addiction is a reality for so many of us. Here's what we want to do this morning. We want to offer some hope. Because some of you, or you know some people that have been dealing with this issue for years. And whether everyone knows or nobody knows, you just think that you can't break free, or you think they'll never get free from it. Can I say this morning, you can, and they can, by the power of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, my heart breaks for the devastation that's caused by addiction. God, there's no one in this room that hasn't been touched by it at some level. And so, Father, we're going to ask in this place this morning, you bring hope, you bring healing, you bring redemption, you bring forgiveness, you bring tears, you bring repentance, you bring all that you can bring to the table that we might be radically changed by you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm 42. Verses 1 and 2. I believe this is the passage that the Outdoors Ministry uses as their key verse. Is that right, Story? Love this passage. It says simply this. God's going to show us how we can break free, and here's how. It says simply this. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Here, I'm going to just tell you right off the bat that you and I were made for one thing. We were made to long for God. Beyond pills, beyond a bottle, beyond any other thing, we were made to long for Him. And I love what this passage says. It uses the word pants or longs. And the idea is it's greater than just a desire. It is an overwhelming appetite. An overwhelming appetite. And a deer, I don't know if you know this, but as a deer gets very thirsty, if they've gone for too long without water, they will make a noise that radiates through the whole woods. When they're near death and they've got to have water, and this pant is a desperate call for help. And for you and I, that means it's this longing for God is greater than just, hey God, get me out of this bind and hey, I'll check in with you when things are going south again. Longing for God is a consuming appetite for Him. And He uses the analogy of thirst, right? Anybody ever been seriously thirsty? I mean, this is summer in Georgia. Just stand outside for 45 minutes. You'll be dying. But have you ever been so thirsty that your tongue swells up and it's sticking to every place in your mouth and you can't make a spitball if you wanted to? That's gross, right? That's thirsty, right? We've all been there. And when you get that kind of thirsty, then you find water quick, don't you? I mean, you find it, and when you do find it and you get it, you don't care. It can run down your shirt. And it feels good, right? As long as you're getting some in your mouth, it's okay. Guys, this is what this passage is saying. These same words, the same word that's used here to pant for God and to long for God, is the same word that's used all the way back in the book of Exodus when they had built a tabernacle and they were finally worshiping their God in a worship service. Then He called the Israelites to come and pant and long for God in the temple, to come worship Him with all that they had, to come thirst for their God. It's the same word. You know what that tells me? That you and I were made to worship something. You and I were created with a need to worship something. And the fact is that you and I are worshiping something. The question this morning is, are we worshiping and longing and panting for the living God? Because when we start to do that, these other things start to fade away. When we start to worship Him and pant for Him and long for Him, He satisfies like nothing else. He satisfies like nothing else. See, if we're not worshiping God and we're longing for or desiring something else more than Him, then that is called worship and we're addicted to it. In John chapter 4, Jesus carried the same idea of longing and panting and thirsting. And He met a woman at a well and she was drawing water. And He says, listen, if you drink that water, you're going to get thirsty again. He says, but I've got some water that if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. See, if you drink from the living water, He's saying this. If you drink from me, if you let me give what I've got to you, you will never thirst again. I will satisfy you in the inner place, in all these other things that you're chasing, in all these other addictions and desires that you think can satisfy. I'll replace them and I will truly satisfy. That's what Jesus said to her. Here's what I believe, guys. Here's what I'm trying to say. If we find our satisfaction in God alone, we won't look for it anywhere else. We won't have to look for it anywhere else. Now, I want to give a disclaimer, because if we're talking about pills and a bottle and some things like that. Sometimes it's more than just a desire thing. Sometimes there's a chemical dependency thing happening. And if that's where you are or someone that you know is, they might need professional help. They might need a time to detox. They might need some things to happen in their life. They may need to get away and unplug from some certain circumstances. There's more to it simply than that when there's a chemical thing happening in your body. But I can tell you this. Whatever the problem is, there's a deeper problem. There's a spiritual problem. There's a spiritual root problem. Every addiction, there goes down to a spiritual root to it. You ever gone outside and pulled weeds? Is there anything you love more than that? I hate it. And I always forget to put my pre-emergent down every year. I'm like, daggum, why didn't I do that? So I'm out pulling weeds. Well, you can spray the weeds and they're wilt over. And then soon after that, what happens? Pop right back up. Or you can send your kids out there, or if you're not doing it and paying much attention, you can pull the tops off the weeds. What happens? Pops right back out. What you got to do if you're going to pull a weed and pull it right, you got to get down there near the base and pull out the what? You got to get out the root. You got to pull out the root. And here's what I'm telling you. Every addiction problem, if there's a chemical thing or any kind of thing going on, there's a spiritual root to it. And so this morning we're going after the root. We're going after the whole. We're going after the cause. We're going after the piece of you that is looking for something and desperate to find it. You can say, well, I've prayed. And I have promised. And I have promised God, and I've promised my family, and I've promised myself time again. And I have pleaded with God, and I've pleaded with Him to stop it, to take it away from me, to quench the desire. And I'm just not sure I can break free. Can I tell you something? You can. You can. You remember that song we just sang? Every chain is broken by the power of His blood. Every chain can get broken by the power of Jesus Christ. So let me give you some things to hang on to this morning as how God can help set you free and set me free from the things that would try to hold us down. The first thing we have to do is admit our addiction. I mean, last week, that was all we were talking about. Look, you got to realize there's chains around you. You may not even realize it, but anything you can't say no to is holding you in bondage. And you got to admit it. This is just between you. This is just between you and God. You've got to realize and admit that you've been thirsting for something else more than what you were created to thirst for. And that was in God. And there's power in admitting that. I want to tell you, we've gotten a partnership developing with the Potter's House just down the road from here. We're sending people to do ministry there. They're helping us out. It's a beautiful marriage of ministry that we're doing with them. And if you don't know what the Potter's House is, men come from all over the Southeast. And they have one thing in common. They have admitted that they have a problem with drugs and alcohol. And I can tell you this, guys, it is so refreshing to hang around them. It is so powerful to worship with them. It's amazing to be near them because here they've already admitted they've got a problem. And it's what we don't want to do in church. They've already done it. I said, look, I'm broken and I need help. Second thing we got to do after admitting our problem is expose our addiction. We got to expose it. We got to bring it out into the light. We got to here's the first step is between you and God and admitting to yourself there's a problem. The second thing's a little more public than that. When you decide it's time to expose it to somebody else and you stop pretending that it's not an issue. Can I just be really real with you? We believe in trying to help men be sexually pure and free from pornography and sexual temptation. And so we do an every man's battle group every other Sunday night. One guy I was talking to, he hadn't been to the group, but he was talking about, and we kind of found out that he had this issue in his life. It has messed up his career. It has messed up a marriage. It has messed up our current relationship. And he's struggling with this area of sexual temptation. And when I talked to him about it, I asked him point blank, do you need help in this area? And he flat out looked at me and said, no, I don't. I'm good. That was the old me. I'm a changed man. Then another guy comes to our group and he says, I was scared to come. I didn't know what you guys would think about me. I thought maybe I'd be the only one that really had a problem. I said, no, welcome. Join the rest of us. And he says, look, it was awesome for me to come. I feel like that was my first step. And I said, absolutely. I can tell you one thing. Those two men are going opposite directions. And one of them are going to get set free. And the other one's going to live in bondage and slavery to that sin. Because one was willing to expose it and the other one wouldn't. You know, this is a biblical principle. James 5:16 says this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Now, we don't confess our sins to each other to be forgiven. It didn't say that, did it? Now, the scripture is clear. We confess our sins to God, and he forgives us, and he cleans us and redeems us. But what it says is, if you confess your sins to each other, you'll be what? You'll be healed. That's a whole different ballgame. What it means is you'll be set free, and you'll break free from it. Because when you expose it, it starts to die. You start to get accountability in life, it starts to shrink back. You start letting other people into the issue, it has to run. That's what the scripture says. So we admit our addiction. We expose our addiction. And thirdly, we got to replace our addiction. We got to replace our addiction. What I mean by that is you can't remove an addiction in a vacuum. Not a vacuum, but a kind of vacuum. You know what I mean? What I mean is like an air pump. You ever pump up your tires? Huh?
Right, Kirby out.
I have a Kirby. What I mean is that you pump up a tire with a pump, right? And when you put that piston pushes the air into the tire, when you pull it back up, you're trying to create a vacuum. And the air pressure doesn't like that, so the air races in from outside and comes into that piston. And then you push it back into the tire. Here's what I'm trying to say. So many people try to get free from an addiction by creating a vacuum. I'll just push that out, and they don't bring anything in behind it. They try to push out that habit. They try to push out that addiction. They try to push out that issue, and there's nothing in to fill in the backside. And so as soon as they push something else out, what happens? Something else comes in. You heard of people talk, well, I have an addictive personality. That's what they're talking about here. Because they've pushed out something, but they haven't replaced it with what God wants to replace it with. So something else comes rushing right in behind it. Or they relapse right back to what they had before. And really the way to deal with that is to realize this emptiness that's inside, this vacuum that's inside, needs to be filled with what we just read in the scripture, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. And God says, I want to rush in there. I want to be what fills you. I want to be what satisfies you. I want to be your one desire. I want you to long for me like you're dying of thirst. And until you let God backfill in our lives and replace all these other things that we get addicted to and desire, we'll never be free. Because we've never dealt with the root problem. That something's missing. That maybe he's missing from our lives. Because when he rushes in, he truly satisfies. Here's what I'm trying to say, guys. You will always be addicted to something until you get addicted to God. You will always be addicted to something until you get addicted to God. See, we're wired to want to worship something. And that something that he made us to worship was himself. Because he's the only thing that fully and finally satisfies. Now there's another passage here in Psalm 63 that describes what it looks like. Because I could talk all day, but I think this passage sets it up beautifully. If I want to thirst after, if I want to long for, if I'm going to pant for the living God, this is what it looks like. Psalm 63. It says, "Oh God, you are my God." Do you hear relationship in there? You're not just God out there somewhere in heaven. You're my God. I have a relationship with you. And he says, "Earnestly I search for you." I don't have just a relationship with you. I want more of you. I didn't just stop with getting saved and baptized and coming to church. I want more of you, God. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there's no water. He's saying, look, I've tried all these other watering holes and they're dry. I've tried to find it in this place, in this place, in this place, in this relationship, in this addiction, and it doesn't satisfy. And he says, "I've seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast." He could have said it this way. "You satisfy me more than money. You satisfy me more than sex. You satisfy me more than power. You satisfy me more than approval. You satisfy me above all things. You satisfy. And so I'll praise you with songs of joy." See, that's the natural response. When you get full of God and I get full of God and we are longing for him and we're letting him in, then our natural response is songs of joy to him. Because we've found all that we've looked for. And guys, you know you're there and you know you found it when you are secure in his relationship. You know you found it when you are satisfied in his love. You know you found it when you're captivated by his beauty. You know you found it when you're overwhelmed by his presence. You know you found it when you feel the significance of yourself in his eyes. And know you're a person of great price and importance. Then you found it. When those things are true, you can break free. When those things are true in my life, guys, I walk in freedom. When those things are not true in my life and I forget those things, I look for other things to satisfy. How about you? But when he is all I need, when he, and I take a big drink of him, it satisfies. What I've found is I'll always be addicted to something until I'm addicted to him. You know, I think because few people really truly live that way, we think maybe that's not possible. But that's not true, is it? God created us to live in freedom and to long and pant for him. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, guess what they experienced? They drank of him. They enjoyed him. They walked in freedom with him. They knew him. It was a personal thing. They didn't long for anything else. They had no other wants or desires. And this morning, whether you've been hiding this thing and nobody else knows, or your addiction is so public and so obvious that everybody knows, God wants to do business with us this morning. And if God was sitting here, he'd say, "I want you to be free. I want you to be free from anything that holds you in bondage." And so being free means you take all of those steps of admitting and exposing and replacing and finding your significance in him. But that starts with a step. So as we wrap up this morning, I'm going to challenge you to make a step today. If we could just close our eyes and bow our heads, we're going to let the Lord speak to us this morning. Because there's likely a step you need to take this morning. And for some of us, the first step is, as you've never done this, you've denied it. You think everyone else is the issue, but the truth is you've got a problem. And the first thing you've got to do this morning is admit it to God and admit it to yourself. I've got a problem. Right now, right where you are, if that's you, just call on God right now. Say, God, help me with my problem. I've got a problem. I admit it to you, God. The step for some people this morning is going to be to expose that addiction. Expose it. You say, I don't feel safe here. This is a safe place. This is a safe place to do that. Nobody is going to judge you. Nobody's going to look twice at you. We talk about it at this church. There's no perfect people allowed. Not a one of us have it together. And if you come up and expose it this morning, just to me, just tell me I need help, I promise you there's someone else in our church that's going through or has gone through the same thing you are. And it's time to expose it. Just in my confidence. And then some of us need to replace that empty hole in our heart that we've been trying to fill with everything else. It's time to fill it with the living God. The God who loves you, who made you. He knew your name eons before you were born. And he sent his only son, his beloved son, his perfect son to a torn and bent world and died in your place so that you could be set free. And if you've never experienced that, if you've never opened your heart to God and let him in to be your leader and forgiver in your life, it's time to do that today. It's time to replace all those wants and desires with him. And if that's you, I want to pray with you and say, God, I'm done. Just tell him that. God, I'm done looking everywhere else. It's time I turn to you. I'm ready to turn to you. And I believe Jesus is the answer. I believe he died in my place. And I put my faith in him. And Lord, we know that there's others here that have known Christ and he's a reality in their life, but yet they're still trying to fill their heart with something else. And like you warned the church in Revelation chapter 2, you said you've forsaken your first love. You've drifted away from the great love I have for you. You've lost sight of how much you really love me. God, can you just challenge your people to go back to that first time they encountered you? And remember again what it means to love you with all their heart, with all their strength, and with all their mind. So before we finish this prayer, guys, what we're going to do is simply this. You might know somebody. You might be that somebody that needs to admit, expose, or replace. We're going to ask you as this song plays to come up. Pray at the altar. Come talk to me. Do whatever God's asking you to do. Jesus, we ask that you be glorified right now. In Jesus' name, amen.